ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. Oh, aren't you glad about it? Let's stand.
Laying up my treasures in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Oh, getting ready
to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Trusting in the riches of its saving grace. Through its earthly trials, I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven, I will find a place. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Getting ready
to leave this world.
Getting ready for the gates of pearl.
Keeping my record right, watching both day and night.
I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? What a time we had here last night. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Wasn't it so wonderful? Aren't you glad that you've been handpicked? Aren't you glad you've been chosen? Aren't you glad for predestination? God is so good to us. We're some of the most blessed people to ever have lived in this world, to get to believe what we believe in this hour. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Place them over there.
Prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Oh, getting ready
to leave this world of sorrow. Getting ready for the gates of right, watching both day and night.
I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
One more time, getting ready
to leave this world.
Getting ready
for the gates of pearl.
Keeping my record right,
watching day and night.
I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
Somebody say praise the Lord. I saw something quite humorous on the internet the other day. It had three things written and a little place to make a check mark. One of them was Hillary. You could vote for that. One of them was for Donald. You could vote for that. And one of them was for come Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's my vote.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. I don't believe it's going to be much longer. We'll be out of this place. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. I'm so glad to have each and every one of you here. Got some visitors with us in the service today. Some of my kin folks are here. Brother Matt, Sister Christy, Garrett, their two boys. And we're just, Brother Matt's going to be singing for us this morning. So we're just glad to have all of our visitors this morning. And we're going to get the offering this morning too, by the way. I've done got people throughout the congregation instructed to remind me. So we will do that. All those folks that will be streaming, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks. You know, there's people that this is what church they have, what they get to see on the internet. And we want to worship the Lord with everything that's within us. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're here today, and God deserves your very best. He deserves that. He don't owe you anything. We found out last night, it's God plus nothing makes everything. It's God. It's God plus nothing that makes everything. We're the nothings. He's the everything. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother Wes Gilbert sends this in. The other day, my check got messed up. Did not have enough gas to get to a job, and all I had was $5. I prayed and asked God to give me enough gas to go to my job and back home. I drove 142 miles on 2 gallons of gas. He is so mindful. I would say that's the truth. I would say that's the truth. I don't doubt that. There was a little woman in the Bible, her meal barrel was empty, but she baked cakes for many, many days. Amen. We praise the Lord for His mercy. Please remember Megan Kemp in prayer. She was involved in an automobile accident some time ago and is scheduled for her 8th surgery on her leg tomorrow. The doctors have said they are running out of options, but we are believing a miracle for our sister. So we just commit that to the Lord. God is able to give her what she has need of. We believe that. Brother Jerry Glenn wants us to remember Richard Adkins of Johnson City, 18-year-old young man who only has half of his heart working. He was born this way. He needs a miracle to live much longer. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. I want to pray for Kami Holder, bedridden with a bad back for so many years. I think been this way about 10 years. So much pain. The doctors want to operate, but he's not able. His nerves got messed up during the last surgery. And so they're just asking for a healing touch from our Lord Jesus, which we believe He's able to give that man that. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Clara Davis, having problems with severe pain in her knees. So we just commit that to the Lord this morning. My Aunt Shirley Cress is having major back surgery on Tuesday. Please pray for the doctors, the nurses, and the patients. So we just commit that to the Lord. Sister Shirley Lunsford is asking for prayer for a neighbor who is 15 years old. His name is Hunter Davis. He has cancer and would appreciate your prayer. So we certainly want to pray for that young man that the Lord would be mindful of that need. Sister Janet Payne has a special prayer request for Sister Penny Russa of Indiana. She is Sister Ruth Dean's daughter. The Lord knows all about that need. My co-worker's husband has an aneurysm in his heart that is in danger of rupturing. Please pray that the blood pressure would return to normal. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. My co-worker's wife is going for an operation for cancer. We're just asking that the Lord would let her be healed, let her receive healing in her body before the surgeon's hands even touches her. We know that God is able. So we just commit that need to the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, you have a need this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you believe God's able? Look at somebody and say, God is able. He certainly is. Brother Gene, come this morning if you would. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Ask God to have His divine will in all these situations. Appreciate you, Brother Gene. God bless you, buddy.
Just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to worship, invite you into our worship this morning. If you come, Lord, I know that everything will work out right, Father. Lord, we know that all things are possible this morning to them that believe, Father. We come, Lord, with that expectation, Lord, as we hold these requests in my hand tonight, this morning, Father, that you can make a way for each one of them, Lord. I know, God, that it looks like sometimes that things are impossible, but you're an impossible worker, Lord. You can work out things when it seems like there's no way. Lord, I kind of had a little thought of, Lord, if Brother Donnie been preaching about being chosen, and when there was nothing, when you stood alone, God. But Lord, I know, God, that we was there in your mind, Father. I remember a time, Lord, not when I was 20 years old, and I never had really felt like went to church for Sunday school or something, Lord, but one day down on a riverbank, Lord, you spoke to me. And that's when you called me, Lord, and I knew then that, Lord, that was what it was. Brother Donnie been talking about, Lord, if you know that he'd call you and he'd speak to your heart just like he did Abraham. Lord, I know that you can speak to these requests here tonight, Father, or this morning, and you can move on them, God, and you can make a way, Lord, and make them, Lord, heal. Lord, Brother Yahoo was talking last night about faith. Well, Lord, faith will move mountains, Lord. So we just ask, God, that you'll have your way in the service this morning. May you come down, Father, and bless each one of us, Lord. Open our hearts, God, the womb of our heart, that we can receive that you, Lord, have anointed, Lord, a man to come and to speak to us, Lord. Lord, I know he's a man, but God, when you send the anointing, Father, it's not a man no longer, it's you. So we thank you today, God, that you've got men, Lord, that have that anointing, and God, are welcome and will let that anointing be, God, used for your glory, Father. So we just ask now that you'll meet the need of this service, meet the need of Brother Donnie this morning. May he come and pour out his heart, Lord, and may our hearts, Lord, receive that you've got for us this morning. We'll honor you and praise you for it in Jesus' name, Lord.
Thanks, Brother Chief. God bless you. Ushers, come. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, this is the way I look at it. If time lasts and you live, you're going to be old one day. Oh, you're going to be old. You'll be sitting somewhere drooling, wondering who you are and where am I at? No, not really. We're going to get out of here before then. I believe that with all of my heart. But if that does happen, that don't change nothing. That don't change one thing. We're serving a risen Savior, and I love him so much. Do you love him with all your heart this morning? Is he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Without him, where would you be? What kind of shape would we be in? Oh, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I've found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now. Oh, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I've found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now. I've been tired and I've been weary, I've been footsore on my journey, but I've come too far to ever turn around. There've been days when clouds hung dreary, many days when friends were cheery, but I've come too far to turn and go back now. Oh, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I've found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now.
been tempted and I've been tested. My progress seemed arrested, but I can truly say God has never let me down.
He's never let us down.
In the battle I've retreated.
Hallelujah.
But I've never been defeated, and I'm way too close to turn and go back now. One day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on the heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I found. Way too close to turn and go back now. I've been tempted and I've been tested. My progress seemed arrested, but I can truly say God has never let me down.
He's never let me down.
In the battle I've retreated, but I've never been defeated. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now.
Oh, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now.
One more time.
Oh, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now.
And I'm way too close to turn and go back now.
Hallelujah. If you just started today, you've done come too far to turn and go back. There's nothing to go back to. If you're even thinking about living right, you've come too far to turn and go back to the world. Oh, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now. Yes, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I feel the longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I found. Way too close to turn and go back now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Sister Tamika, the song she sung last night, Brother Larry, is that what she's going to be singing again this morning? She'll come on to the platform. Brother Matt Garrett, if you come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning. I have some other songs lined up, but I will get to you just as soon as I can, and we'll work all that out, okay? I know you'll be patient with me and understand. But let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning. Let's sing that chorus together one more time as Sister Tamika makes her way to the platform. Yes, I am one day closer home than I've ever been before. In my heart I have a longing just to walk on heaven's shore. In my soul I feel the glory of this brand new peace I've found. And I'm way too close to turn and go back now.
and your throne in heaven above. It seems so far away. And though I can't touch your nailed, scarred hands, I have a deep, unspeakable joy that makes my faith to stand. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my I find, Lord, I believe in you, and I'll keep my trust in you. Let this whole world say what they may, no one can take this joy. From above, you were God's only chosen one. You are the one and only true way, way to the Father's heart. You died for my sin, but then you rose and now live again, conquering death and the grave, so that I might live. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence
Amen. It's good to be here. How many know there's a lighthouse that you always go back to? Amen. Pray for me. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. For if it wasn't for that lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown the light around me, that I might clearly see that if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Now everybody lives around us, they say, tear that old lighthouse down. You know the big ships, they don't sail by this way anymore. There's no use in that old thing standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw that light. It was a light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
Praise the Lord for that today. Aren't you glad for the evening light? Russia is getting ready. The president, supposedly by television, has been telling there may be preparation to bomb the United States. They're ready. Several manufacturers are making cars driverless. They're ready. Our nation looks like it's ready to vote in a woman to be their president. They're ready. Are you ready? Russia's ready. Hillary's ready. The car's ready. The highway's ready. Are we ready? We want to stay ready, don't we? Amen. Don't you appreciate God and His grace giving us the word that we need to be ready for this hour? My goodness, there's so many things that happens weekly, you know, prophetically, that happens all around us. It's just staggering to look at it. And we live in the generation when so much is being fulfilled. Oh my. Russia having her place, we know it's important. Israel having hers, and Hillary becomes the president, her having hers, no doubt it'll lead us into a terrible, terrible situation. But none of them ain't going to give me rapture in faith. Hillary comes to her place, she's supposed to. Russia comes to theirs. But me finding my place in the Word is what's going to help me see the rapture. Brother Bram never told us when the bride sees who Hillary is. When the bride sees who Putin is. But the bride can see who she is. That's what will put you in the rapture. Amen. Let's turn today to St. John chapter 1, if you would. St. John chapter 1. We'll pick up where we were last night. Two primary Greek words that are used to define in Scripture our word, the word that we use, word, W-O-R-D, logos and rhema. St. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Let's look at the meaning of this one now. Logos, word saying, a word uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea, decree, mandate, or order. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we are not of the Arianist view that believes that Jesus, being the Logos, was a creative being that was not Godhead. Oh, you didn't know they believed that, huh? That's what many Trinitarians believe as well. They just don't realize it. He is God. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. I know it may be hard for you to believe, but some message preachers preach Jesus is not God. They preach Jesus has no angels. Only God has angels. I'm glad God delivered me of that Trinitarian devil. Amen. My Jesus is God. He ain't second in command. He is the command. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Logos was God. So the Logos comes out of God. It is an extension, if you want to use it that way, of the Creator Himself. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Now listen to the avenue that God chooses to create by, the Logos. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 14, and the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered today before the Lord in prayer? Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings over the reading of Your Word. I know, Lord, that what I've just read is Logos. I've realized the Word lays as a seed. It takes the Spirit of God to quicken it, to make it alive. We pray that You would do that today, Lord. You would take Your Word and make it so alive in our hearts. Father, You see these prayer cloths I'm holding in my hand today. I pray, Lord, that You would go to the needs of these individuals, Lord. You see all the hands of Your children that were uplifted all over this building today, hundreds of them. Pray that You'd be with them and minister to them as well. Open our hearts. May our hearts be the good ground that we can be able to receive Your Word today. May it produce the fruit for Christ, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you today on the seed in the galleries. Let me read the quote that I read to you last night. Sons and daughters of God was in God at the beginning. Now look, you've got eternal life, you say, and we believe it. Then we've got eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. That's the only thing that is eternal is God. Then if you've got eternal life, that life that's in you always was. And the saints said, amen. Always was. And you were in the loins of God before there was even a world. In the loins of God before there was even a world. Now, God is not a man in that he would have reproductive glands as a human would have. But God's way of reproducing is his seed. So he must have a place by which the seed can be. He puts the earth, when he creates the earth, he creates her in a feminine gender. You see, it is God in the scripture that allocates the earth as being a her. God never calls the earth a him, but God makes the earth a female. And the earth is feminist gender. God needed a womb of something that would be able to receive his seed. So God makes the earth to be a recipient of his seed. She is a garden or a womb by which the seeds of God can be sown. Let there be, let there be, let there be. So God sows the seed into the womb of the earth, and the earth receives that seed of life. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then we go to verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Now, God sowed his seed into this earth. But before it came to the earth, it goes out of the being of the eternal. He was not even God yet. God is an object of worship. So it goes into the form of Logos. It says, the prophet said, God giving birth to a son. Now, it's not another God. It's not a weaker God. But it is himself condescending in the form of creation. God can only be known in creation in Christ. God can only die in Christ. God the Spirit cannot die, of course. God, eternal Spirit, cannot be in form of creation because Spirit, eternal, cannot be created. But he allowed himself to become in the form of his own creation and called it the Lord Jesus. Now watch again, he says, you were in the loins of God before there was even a world. When the Word itself, Jesus himself, is called the Word in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in the loins of Jesus. Now you were in the loins of God, but when the Word became in the beginning, when you were in the loins of God was before the beginning. It was in the eternal. Praise the Lord. Now it was in the eternal. Time had not yet begun. Neither had creation yet begun. So you were in the loins of the eternal. But when it became time in the beginning was the Word. So out of the eternal comes the beginning. With the beginning comes the Word. Because the Word is the beginning of the eternal wanting to condescend. Whenever it comes from Him, it comes into the Logos. Then there you are. You are actually moved from the eternal into the creation when you are in the Logos. So what is your soul then? What is that predestinated seed which each one of you, I trust by God's grace, have inside of you today? It is Logos. It is that part of God that God thought about you before it was transmitted down to become Jesus. God thought of himself as becoming a human being. Then he transmitted that down to become Jesus. But before he became Jesus, he was the Logos, the same person all the time, just changing his form. Do you understand? You are the same person all the time in the soul, just changing your form. You were there in the eternal, then he transmitted you down into the form of the Logos, then he transmitted you down into becoming in the Lord Jesus, and then you were transmitted down at your own birth, and then you were born again. And before
long you're going to be transmitted back up where you come from in the beginning. Same person all the time. You're just changing forms as you go. Now he said, then you were in the loins of Jesus and you went to Calvary with him. You died with him. You raised with him. And today we're sitting together in heavenly places in him. The same person all the time. So you were in the eternal, transmitted to the form of the Logos, transmitted down in the form of sonship, and then you go to Calvary, you died, you're raised, you're resurrected, so it's you all along, just in different forms. Then he said, sitting in heavenly places in him, filled with his Holy, with his Spirit, sons and daughters of God, die with him, raised with him, sure. Now let us look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. John conveys the revelation of the Godhead in a very strange format. 1 John 5, 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, the Word. And it's strange that he does not say the Son. Oh, but he did say the Son. But he said it in deified terms. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You see, the sonship is the Word, which is the Logos. Now, it's not a lesser being. It is not another being. It is not another God. It is the same God condescending in his own Word. Now, whenever John writing this, it must have been the Spirit of God, of course. This is the same one who just wrote what we read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. None of the other Gospels quite said it this way. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now it goes on to say in the next verse, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And these three agree in one. Now they are not one, because you could be baptized and justified and not be sanctified. You could be justified and sanctified and not have the Holy Ghost. So if they were all three one, once you got justified, you'd get the whole thing. So the Godhead is separate. The Trinitarian view of it, totally, totally wrong, because it is only one God in the first place. Now we do not believe God the Son necessarily. We believe in the Son of God, because God is not a son. God is not another being called the Holy Ghost, but it is God revealed in sonship and revealed in baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you also are a Trinity, whether or not you understand it. Not only in your being here, but actually in your condescending from the presence of God, you have condescend in a Trinity as well. You are going to be identified in the eighth day in a Trinity as well. You will be seen theophany and glorified body. You always were three, and you will continue to be three, merged into one as long as there is an eternity. Well, praise the Lord. Now, John now is revealing to us a view of the Son of God in a way of the way that he really, really is. Now, not as a being that is less. Now, as I said a while ago, I mentioned Arianism. Many of you probably don't even know what that is, but it was a doctrine that was introduced around the first century AD that believed that Jesus had condescended from God, but he was a creation of God, of something that would be like this or this or this or something like this, that came from God that was not God, that it had nothing about deity at all about it. That is totally contrary to Scripture. So John and Paul and the other writers in the first century are combating this evil doctrine, which has already raised its head. Now John says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word, which here again is Logos. So it is the Father and the Logos, which went out of the Father and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Logos, or the Word of God. So now, then God, whenever he wanted to condescend, millions and millions of years ago, whenever it was, that time actually began. And we know that time itself must have been from a spark of light, spark of something that come out of His great being. And time actually had a moment, or a minute as we'd say, when it actually began. In the beginning was the Word. So the beginning was actually when the Logos goes out of the eternal. Before that time frame, it was the eternal within Himself. There was nothing there. There was no one with Him. There was no stars, no light, no universe. There was absolutely nothing. So there, it was the eternal. Then in the beginning was the Word. So when the Word came into view, it's when time began. And there was not a little boy that was sitting around the Father's throne. Here's this old man sitting on a big old gigantic throne. And then here's this little boy, or younger man, that was sitting on there. But it was more like this, that it was darkness and mass of everything that was there, and yet nothing was there. And out of this being, the eternal, goes this little white light. It was the Logos. It was God giving birth to a son. That was not only the beginning of the Logos, but it was the beginning of time. And out of there, not only came Jesus, as we further know Him later, but out of there came you. You were there. Now, you don't remember it, but you were there. Now, the seed that God would sow in every age after Adam would fall, whose names are represented in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were the Logos attributes of God, which would be expressed by the spoken Word. But yet, remember, as we looked at last night, that God, knowing that the Logos is the person of the Lord Jesus, but yet the Logos will also become the written Word. Now, God, what He does in His own thinking is absolutely beautiful to me. But God must make the Logos to where it can be lifeless and powerless once it's written down. If not, once people access this written Logos, they can take it and do whatever they want. They can create. They can be able to do what they want. But God separates the quickening power, or the Zoe, away from the Logos when He has it written down. Now, I don't want to be complicated with it, but God inspires His men, His servants, His prophets, and they would write the Word of God down. And we know that every word of God is given by inspiration. They were inspired by the quickener when they wrote it. But when they wrote it down, they did not have the ability to pin quickening power with the Word when they wrote it. So they would write down what God told them and what God said, but they could not write down the quickening power. You understand? They did not have access into ink to be able to write the quickening power on the Word. So people would be able to read it and read it and read it, and the only way they'd ever understand it is for the quickener to be able to quicken it to them. Then they would understand it. Praise the Lord. Now, it parallels the same thing with you as the seed of God yourself. Now, you're going to come from the very thoughts of God in the form of Logos, spoken Word, and you're going to land down here in a dust body. Now, but you're going to come without Zoe. You're going to come not being quickened already. So you will be, if I can say it this way, a dead seed, or a seed which has not been quickened to life, and that Logos will lay in you in a dormant state, the way the Logos lays right in here in a dormant state for years and years and years. So people can pick up this Bible and read it and memorize it and quote it and love it and talk about it and so on and so on. But if the Spirit of God does not quicken it and make it live, they'll never really understand what it says. And that's why a child of God can be have a real seed of God inside of their soul. They can come to this church or whatever message church, and they can sit there for years and years. And they might come and believe the Lord, and they might get baptized several times, and they might sing special songs and do, you know, all kinds of church-related activities. But until the Spirit of God falls upon that Logos, the same way He does when you and I read this and turn them into a Rhema Christian, they will only be a Logos Christian, and they can be a Logos Christian for years and years. You understand where the denominational people fit? They are Logos Christians. Now, many of them, they quote the Scripture, they love the Scripture, and they read it, and they believe it with all of their heart. But God elected His people not only to be Logos, but to become Rhema. You see, when Jesus Jesus was born, he was the Word. But then, of course, something happened down at the river that day, and the same thing must happen to you and I, or we just become a Christian which quotes the Word. Well, God said he loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son. I accept that. I've obeyed that. The Word says be baptized. I've done that. The Word says don't do this, and I've done that. And the Word says do this, and I've done that. The Word says pay your tithes. I do that. I go to church. You're a Logos Christian. But when you are really born of the Spirit of God, you are doing it because it is an inborn nature inside of you that there's something there. Oh, you don't live for him by legalism. You don't live for him because a preacher's going to get you, or the deacons is going to get you, or somebody's going to take you out from under the blood. You do it because you're born again. You are quickened. You are a rhema, child of God. You are a word fit for this age, which makes you fit for the King. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, God takes the Logos, or the Son, and the Son will be the avenue by which God will create, or if I can say it this way, procreate. Watch in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So all things, but now remember, he was not known by this name when the work of creation was going on. When he went out of God, he was not Jesus Christ yet. But he was the Logos. But now Paul, being anointed by the Spirit of God, he brings the Logos in the creative act of God into his human identity, Jesus Christ, for that's who he became. Oh, my, I wish you could see that. I wish you could see that connection where it comes from Logos to become a human being. It would help tighten up your journey as well. Amen. It would help you to see that now you've got a human name. Before, you was just a thought. You was an attribute. You was Logos. But now you've got a human name. And the word of this hour is identified with you personally in your human name. Now, who created all things by Jesus Christ? So, Jesus was not a man there. Jesus was not a human being, but he was the Logos. So, it goes out of God, the avenue that God will use. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. So, he represents to mankind the perfection of everything that God is and was. So it would be in a similitude of something like this, that an artist would go to painting a mountain, or they would go to making a sculpture, and they would look at the image, and then they would take the brush, or they would take the lead pencil or whatever they're using, or they would take the molding clay, and they would look at the image, and by their hands they would transform the clay into the image that they're using as a model. So God projected the model of all that he was in the image of Jesus Christ. Now, the model was invisible. The model was invisible, and may I say, he still is invisible this morning. He was invisible. But God transmits the invisibility of perfection into the visibility of the Lord Jesus. Lord have mercy. God permits everything that he is from the invisible, and when he walks upon the earth, he was that God made manifest, so he became the image of the invisible God. So he was the work of the great artist, that he will take everything that he's looking at. Now he's looking at this perfection right here, but he's putting it on a charge or a paper or whatever more, where it will become tangible, bringing it from the invisible to the visible. It's the same way with your life. If you're truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, God wants to take what the power of invisibility has done in you by a new birth and make it visible by your works, by your walk, by your behavior. The artist wants to do the same thing with you and I today. He wants to take the invisibility and make it visible, that people can say there is still a living God. Now watch, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. So among all the other creatures of God, the Logos, which became Jesus Christ, is the firstborn. God giving birth to a son. Notice verse 16. For by him were all things created. Now we think in our mind that God is this being there, and God said, let there be, and this word, this spoken word is coming out of this invisible realm, and there's where the trees and the planets and all of the universe come. It's not quite like that. God gave birth to his Logos, and out of his Logos comes all things. God created by his Logos. It's hard for us to understand that. Our words don't have that kind of power. Unless, of course, he drops a rhema word in us and then it's him talking. So we're thinking it's this invisible being or this old man or whatever you've got in your mind that you think God is. And God then took by that. No, God spoke his Logos, and out of the Logos comes everything else, which included you and I. Now watch, by him, so him is not just words. His word was a person which was himself in the realm of visibility. Amen. Y'all looking at me funny this morning. Am I my pack crooked? Or? You see, all we know is the realm of visibility. And everything we deal with pretty much is visible. How do you relate to such an invisible world that covers such vastness? We basically have to take his word for these things. Now God wants to project us, so by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible. So here the Logos is the channel by which God is creating in both worlds. So there are things that were created by and through the Logos in the invisible world that we still don't know about to this day. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him. So him is a person. Not only by him, but for him. Praise the Lord. I hope this don't stagger you, but Lucifer had a place. He was created by him and for him. Only for a purpose and time now, but by him and for him. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. So the Son, the Logos, was the channel of creation that God made the worlds. Not one, but worlds in plural. Praise be to God. So Christ, the Logos, is the channel of God's creation. It is also the channel of sonship. It is also the connection from the divine to the natural. It is the connection from the invisible to the visible. The Logos. You say, do we need it in this day? Absolutely every day of our lives. Praise the Lord. Now watch verse 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The character. That which is used to make a mark. Also, the facsimile of God. The facts of God. Jesus was God's facts. He is the express image of the invisible. So God puts the image in a time machine. And the time machine. machine transmits the invisible image into the material world of substance, light, matter, time, science. And then the invisible image of God becomes visible and you can see Him on the earth. Oh, praise be to God. Notice the image of His person, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, which is dunamis. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now watch also in Revelation 3:14. Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This was not known in the Ephesian age. This revelation was not to be given in the Sumerian age. The understanding of the beginning of the creation of God was saved for this age. Then it's important for us to understand it. The beginning of the creation of God. I love the way Brother Bram says this, improving His word. What happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. What did He come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. Now remember, God had not yet had a permanent flesh body. He would pick one up as He did walking to Abraham. He'd live in it for a few moments and drop it back down. He'd return to the elements of the earth. In form of theophany, He could appear and disappear. But God wanted His own human body. Now the Logos, which was invisible in the world to our eyes, would become tangible, but God did not want it to disappear again after His living upon the earth, His days of humanity. So He wanted to take this human body that the Lord Jesus lived in, and He wanted this to be His body through eternity. He would be the effigy or the image of the resemblance of the invisible God, the Shekinah light that will be over Him in the eighth day in eternity. But this body would be His image through the ages. So what did He do? He took that body and He redeemed it. You say it wasn't lost. He didn't redeem it from sin. He redeemed it from death. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, this is my part of the earth. This is my part of the earth. And with this part, I will redeem the rest of it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God. So here we see, when the humanity is revealed on the earth, we see a parallel of the unfolding of what happened in heaven when time began. So this is God's part of the earth. This is the beginning of the creation of God. But wait a minute. This isn't the beginning. No, it's not the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the creation. It is the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of a new race. What's He doing? He's mirroring on the earth what He did in heaven when the Logos went out of the eternal. This was the beginning. Now He's on the earth and He said, I am the beginning of the creation of God. What's He speaking about? Just being Logos? No, Logos becoming a human, but a human in a redeemed, glorified body. So He's speaking of another creation, and it is a creation of Himself, which is who? The bride. Well, we'll get to that next time, Lord willing. What's this? The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Brother Bram said to redeem that part of the earth, He was the beginning of the creation of God, because God is not a creation only in Christ. He is a creation. Because God is eternal in a spirit, and a spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God, and God redeemed that body. But He had you in mind when He done it now. See, when He come down, this is my beloved Son, I am pleased in Him. Also He said, He also multiplied bread and fishes. This virgin born Son, what was it? To prove the word. All scripture has to be fulfilled. He proved the word by saying He was Jehovah made manifest. He was the beginning of the creation of God. God in creation. God with a little part of creation here that God was living in Himself. Amen. God, He was the beginning of that creation. From Him begets many sons. So now the beginning of the creation of God, which was Logos from the eternal, comes upon the earth and becomes a human being and extends the creation of God now beyond light meters. Let there be. Now it's not atoms and molecules, but now it's human bodies. Hang on. He was the beginning of the creation of God. We are the continuation of the creation of God. Same God's right here today, still unfolding that word. Let there be, my Lord. There may be a son or daughter of God sitting here today. And today the light meter of God will expulse itself over your soul. And you'll be born again while sitting right here in this church. Amen. The very same God that spoke it in the beginning is still speaking. Let there be light, and there will be light. Amen. Light over what? The earth. The earth is already too far gone. The world is already too far gone. But He's gathering not Logos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Notice, and why it had to be shepherds. He started a new creation. What was it? A creation of Himself. God made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God, God was created in human form. In Jesus Christ, His Son, God dwelt. He built His tabernacle of flesh and bones. Now, the first tabernacle was Logos. It wasn't flesh. It wasn't bones. It was Word. This is the further unfolding of Logos when Logos was made flesh. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're the further unfolding of the Logos part that was there inside of God thinking of you. The Logos made flesh. The Logos has got a bride. Amen. Glory. Notice He said, Emmanuel, God with us. He built Himself a house to live in it so He could reflect His word to His subjects through that. You know what God is? When you see Christ. What was it? The image of the invisible God. The Spirit looking at the image and transferring it to canvas. Transferring it into the molding clay. Bringing from the invisible to the visible. Friends, what good does it do for us to talk all this talk if that's all it is talk? And we use all these message cliches and say all these things that the majority of the world don't understand. What good does it do unless it comes from invisibility to visibility? Oh my, no, it's not. He said, it's that Holy Spirit that's in you that makes you speak with tongues, looks back there and doesn't agree with the rest of the word. It's the wrong spirit. Something makes you shout and run the aisles and want to jerk and carry on. It don't lead you to this word. I'd check it if I was you. It's the wrong spirit. It's got to come from the inside, which is the word from the beginning. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you. Into existence. You mean I was there in the beginning? You mean you was there? Can you accept this, church? I can stand up here all service and preach about Hillary. Hillary's this and Hillary's going to be there. I'll tell you one thing, that woman, Hillary this and Hillary that. Is that really going to place you positionally? Is that going to make you women want to get rid of your dresses and wear a pantsuit like the pantsuit queen? Or if I can take you past Hillary and take you past Trump, take you past your mama, take you past your daddy, take you past your grandpa, take you past the altar and take you plumb back into the mind of God and help you to see that's why all hell is against you. Because you are an attribute of the living God, the Word, the Logos. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence. You see? You started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. Now remember, you didn't start back there as a person. It's not your personality that's eternally predestinated. It's not our human makeup. Seed. You started as a seed. Well, where did you come from? Now use this term in the sense that we can be able to relate. It started. Actually, you never started. But in the sense of condescension and changing forms, you started. Jesus never started. In the sense of starting. But in the sense of condescension to become tangible in a form that could be seen, that started. You wasn't saved on any certain day. You always was saved. Oh, my. It's amazing to me how that quote chokes some folks to death and makes others shout their shoe heels off. The very same quote from the very same message. Notice now then, oh my. He said you started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. And then you were all in Christ. And when Christ died, he died to redeem all of you. And you are part of this word, the Bible. Oh my, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Not just a jot or tittle will fail. How in the world can you, being part of that word, disagree with the rest of it or any part of it? Now let's look at the Logos being written and spoken word. Matthew chapter 8 verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his Logos and healed all that were sick with his word. Now, if we today will stand and they bring somebody to us who's demon possessed, can anybody be able, just anyone, take the scripture and say, in my name they'll cast out devils? So devil, in the name of Jesus, come out of this man. And you quote the Logos. Will it happen? Lord have mercy, ain't nobody saying nothing. Y'all ain't batting your eyes. I believe y'all's heart stopped right then. Will it work? More than likely not. Florence Shakaran told Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, I fasted to cast out devils. I can't cast them out. He said, of course not. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to pray for them who's called to cast them out. Praise the Lord. Now then, what would be the difference if there be a man of God, you're a servant of God, who is called to do such, and yet he would stand up there and quote the exact same scripture that maybe you would quote, and whenever he would do it, that devil would be forced to leave. Why? Why? If both of them are quoting verbatim the very same scripture. To one has been released the rhema of God. He has authority with the word. Oh, glory. Don't you see, when Jesus was here, he is using Logos, but he's not using the dead letter. He has the authority with Logos to make it happen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Other men could try this. Some men know in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, they did exactly the same thing. And the devils, we know what he done to them. Tore their clothes off and liked to tore them all to pieces. Why? They had no authority to do it. They're quoting it. We cast you out by this Jesus whom Paul preached. And he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Why? They had no authority. Their authority was not recognized. And yet a son of God today, one who's called to do such, can take that word and the Logos of God only listen just because he knows he has authority. He don't even have to have a rhema from God. He can stand right there in his position knowing I'm called to cast out devils. So come here. Why? His authority renders his faith in the Logos. But when God does drop the rhema down, look out, devil. Bad days for the kingdom of hell is all I can say. Now watch. Matthew chapter 13 verse 8. Look at another aspect of the Logos. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the Logos of the kingdom and understandeth it not. So now you can hear the Logos, but unless God makes it rhema and drops it in your heart, you can hear it, but you don't understand it. I don't think that means it. No, they've got that all messed up now. That ain't the way that. Are they getting Logos? They are. Are they hearing the word? They are. But which word? Logos word, not Rhema word. So they sit in church and they ponder and they make all kinds of faces. You ought to see it from this view up here. It's really interesting sometimes. I mean, you don't know if their heart's about to bust, their gallbladder's busting. You don't know what in the world's going on with them by the expressions that they make. And you can tell they're not grasping it. So when the word is sown, the Logos, here comes the Logos, and it goes, and it's sown in their heart. But remember, God separated Zoe from Logos when he comes in here. God separates power from Logos when he comes in here. So a preacher stands up and preaches Logos, 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 Logos goes out of his mouth. My, some will sit there. They've got quickening power in them. They grab a hold of that. It bursts them Logos seeds all over them. They're sit there and they take it in. They ponder it. They think about it. They discuss it going down to Fats for dinner. They discuss it over their steak and mashed taters and maters and sit there. And I just think Brother Donnie's studied too much. I believe he's gone mad. Poor guy, we might need to have an election on it. Not this time of year, please. Let's wait till at least the presidential thing gone. I believe he's gone crazy. And others go to Fats and they're sitting on the other side and they're sitting there and they can't hardly sit on those seats. Glory to God. Have you ever seen anything like this in your life? This is absolutely wonderful. This is outstanding. Lord have mercy. What do you want to order? I want 3 dozen of Logos. I'm sorry. I want a steak, medium well, and a baked potato. Oh my Lord, get out of here, woman. We're talking about the word. And these other people are sitting on the other side of the restaurant. Logos Christians, Rhema Christians. So when anyone hears the Logos of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. You mean to tell me the devil can go down in a heart and overpower the Logos? These are the words of Jesus. So a preacher sows it. You read your Bible. You listen to a tape from the prophet. And whatever more. It's sown, sown. Oh, bless God. I believe it. Then you go to college one day and you meet, some great professor. And he goes to questioning about knowing the ark and about God, about this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, something begins to work on your intellect, and your intellect will turn towards your heart and try to empty the Logos out of your heart. But if that Logos has been transformed by the power of God into Rhema, there ain't enough professors in ETSU to get it out. There ain't enough professors in the entire world to get it out. Why? The word is not just Logos. It is quickened word. So the Logos is sown, and a person don't understand it. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now can you imagine God going to let the word, the predestinated seed, be carried on you hearing just the word? So then you hear the word, and that's the predestinated seed. The devil can still snatch it. But the way God done it, it ain't snatchable. Amen. That's fresh. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good one. Catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside. But he that receives seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the Logos, and anon with joy receiveth. Oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, it has changed my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He received the Logos. And he received it with joy. Now notice the difference in all of these verses. There's no difference whatsoever in the word. It's the recipient. this first guy didn't get 10% potency. And the second guy got 20% potency. And then the last guy got 100%. They all got logos. The difference was them. Oh my! He receiveth the word, and an unmeasured joy receiveth it. Yet, he hath not root in himself. Oh my Lord. So he receives the seed, but he doesn't have a root in himself. Something for the seed to connect to. Now watch. He endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Logos, by and by, he is offended. This ain't for me. I can't take this. This is awful. I get laughed at. I get laughed at in my long hair and my long dresses. My goodness. I used to make up. I can't use Maybelline no more. I can't use mascara. I hope I'm talking about a woman now, not a man. Oh, I tell you one thing. I used to paint my lips and paint my fingernails and my toenails, and every nail I had was painted. I had rings on my nose, rings in my ears, rings in my tongues. It did create quite a problem. I ate spaghetti, but I loved it. I was a part of the world. I loved the world. And now I've got to give all that up for what? Some screaming, blabbering, hollering, spitting preacher in the pulpit. No, friends, it's not about me. It's about eternity. I'm telling you about eternity, not me. This ain't about me. This ain't about Happy Valley. It's about your soul. So tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. And by and by, this individual gets offended, and the Logos becomes smothered out of their lives. But when Donnie receives seed, oh, wait a minute, I'm jumping the gun here. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Logos. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos. Lord, you serious? You mean riches and cares of this world, just going places and doing things and being here and going there and oh man, just cares. He doesn't say sins. Cares, just doing things. Too many things on our schedule to pray. Too many things on our schedule to go to church. Too many things on our schedule to listen to tapes and have that quiet time with God. Just the cares of this world. And those things can actually choke the Logos. So it puts its clutches around the Logos. Up in their heart. Then they don't care if they go to church. They don't care if they read. They don't care if they pray. They don't care about nothing no more. And cares and riches choked the Logos. The same thing that created. The same thing that spoke the worlds into existence.
Yes, sir.
The Logos is wonderful. But it still needs power on it. Oh my. And choke the Logos. And he becometh unfruitful. Every one of you now in this next verse, by faith, read your name. But he that receives seed. Look at the difference. Thorny places, stone places. All that, notice the difference. Jesus is describing the ground, not the seed. But he that receives seed into the good ground. Well, somebody please tell me, what would make you good ground? You're born rotten. You're born a sinner. You're born lost without God. What that's good ground. The predestinated, allocated garden spot in your soul. You mean Jesus could use this parable and call them good ground when the gospel of the kingdom is just now going out and they were already good ground? You had good ground in you and you didn't even know you had good ground. When it looked like you wasn't no good at all, God elected you and placed a spot of good ground down inside your soul. So what happened? You hear the Logos. You hear it. And that Logos goes down into that Logos. The good ground. See that? Here is the Logos. And understand this. So he's sitting there reading his Bible. He said, go ye therefore and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, wait a minute, did mom or grandma or somebody tell me over in Acts 2:38 that baptizing them all? Praise God. It's the same thing. Somebody been telling me there ain't no such a thing as prophets in the last day. You go over to Malachi 4 and turn and say, behold, I, the Lord, will send you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. Then you turn over to Matthew 11, where Jesus said, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. And you're sitting there thinking, Lord, have mercy. A prophet of God visited the earth. What was it? Understanding to the Logos. This is why, friend, you'll be able to pull people away. You'll be able to pull people away that was among the thorns and among the stones, but you'll never pull good ground away. Never. It's impossible, brother Terry. They will stand upon that word of God. They are part of that Logos they're hearing. He also that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now this is not 100% and 60% and 30%. Ain't no 30% bride people. Ain't no 60% bride people. We're not talking about percentage wise. We're talking about folds. So their multiplication number in reproduction is what we're looking at. You ain't going to be allowed, Happy Valley, with 90%. You're 100% or out. You owe God your best. Why? He gave you His best. That's exactly right. He didn't give you just a covenant of John 3:16. He gave you Himself. This is not 64. Well, I'll just barely do along and I'll barely hang along. You will not do any such thing. You owe God your very best. Oh, my. Then the Logos can be received into the human heart and remain unquickened. Watch the way Brother Bram says, is it staggering? He's talking about the trial now. He said the Holy Ghost is the one who quickens the word. Now these men claim they believe. Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Impatient, you know, the ones, skeptic. But the Holy Spirit knows nothing about it, and He's the only one that can quicken it. It's just like your body here, see? Your body is dead without the Spirit. So is the Word of God dead without the Holy Ghost to quicken it? But this is you, and you is this. You see, the seed in you was also dead without the Holy Ghost to quicken. Because this is you. So this can be read, this can be talked about, this can be debated, and all that sort of thing. But till the Holy Ghost quickens it, you'll never understand it. You can go to church, you can pay your tithes, you can do all these sort of things, but until you're quickened by the Holy Ghost, you're still not a rhema son of God. Notice this, the Spirit quickens the body and the Holy Ghost quickens the Word. You get it. He ought to know. Again, the Tampa trial. Just look, your spirit quickens your body and the body is quickened by the Spirit. Without the Spirit, the body is of no effect. The body is dead. And the Word is dead. I know that's hard on us, ain't it? Brother Duncan, I want to debate with you. Well, I'm not debating. I've got the floor at this time. You come back to Satan at about four and you can say whatever you want to say. But Brother Donnie, Jesus said the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Ah, you jumped ahead of me on that. But apparently you didn't click on that word, did you? The Remas that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Don't you see, friends, why folks are backsliding around from this message? Their heads are full of logos. Their memory is full of logos. But many of them have lacked the new birth. I've said it for years. I've been criticized, made fun of, laughed at, and I'm going to keep on saying it because I believe it. It's one of the greatest shortcomings in our message is people filled with the Holy Ghost. We got our head full of quotes and gold we can discuss and argue prophecy and debate the seven thunders and this and that and other. But how many's really got deity, God, living inside of them? The Word is dead without the Spirit. It takes the Spirit to bring forth the Word, to make it live. He is the quickener. Notice what God done when He allowed the Logos to depart from Christ and be written. God separated power, life, reproductive ability from the Word, the letter of the Word. That way, He's the only one that can make this live. So when He releases it back on the very same scripture, it's like it... It just explodes. It's like, Lord have mercy, I've read that all my life. I've never seen that before. The quickener come by. Now before you memorize it, you verse it. Oh Lord, your word says, your word says. Don't you think we should do that, Brother Donnie? I do. But I also think, my friends, when we pray every day, when we read our Bible, when we're listening to tapes, when we go to church, we should ask God for rhema words. God, quicken your word to me. That man of God's anointed. You believe that? You believe the men of God are anointed? You believe this Bible is anointed? But are you anointed to receive its anointing? Can I go a little farther? Trial in Tucson. Just like your body. Your body is a piece of flesh. But unless the Spirit is in there to quicken that body, it's dead. And so is the Word. Dead. Unless the Holy Spirit quickens that Word. And He's the quickener of the Word. Don't you see why He would do it that way? It's you. So the Word, the seed, can lay in you for years. Dead. The fourth seal in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, period. That's all. Now the world was without form and void. I said, I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization or something. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters and said, let there be light. And he said he believed the seed was laying there in verse 2 from some other civilization. Well, I just read your life story. Notice. And as soon as the water lifted off and the light struck it, up come the trees and everything. The same thing with a human being. It's a type. When all the mist is moved away and the revealed truths to the real seed laying there still germatized, and the light of the gospel can strike it by a true vindication of the word, it'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. It hasn't got no life. When God wrote His Bible on the earth, He was writing your life story. When God looked upon the earth and saw that the earth was void and the form had been changed by this cataclysmic change, whatever that had brought upon it. But the seeds had not been annihilated. They were laying there from that other existence of the earth and the previous stage. And the Spirit of God began to move. Amen. And when he did, he drove back to mist, and the seeds that were laying there become germatized. It's the same with you drinking, lying, running around, doing whatever you did in the world. And the Spirit of God got a hold of that Logos inside of you. And he began to speak, and all of a sudden the liquor went this way, and the prostitution went that way, and the alcohol and the drugs went another way. Praise God. Why? Because you finally become quickened. This is the danger of coming and sitting in a message church where the water is, where the Holy Ghost is, and sitting there for years and years and years and never become quickened. Because you think, I'm a Christian, I don't need no more. You've got to be born again. It ain't enough to be raised in the message. It ain't enough to, oh, Brother Donnie, you've been my pastor, that's well and good, but God's got to be your father. Oh my. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, Logos, shall not pass away. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my Logos and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the Logos with signs following. John 2:2. John chapter 2, verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture. And the Logos was Jesus had said. So in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my Logos and believeth on him that sent me. Notice the response inside of him from the connection with Logos, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. John 8:37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my Logos has no place in you. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my Logos. Aren't you glad you can hear it? Do we need Logos, Brother Donnie? Every day of our lives. We need Logos for doctrine. We need Logos for do's and don'ts. For behavior. Praise the Lord. We will use more Logos in our life than we will ever use Rhema's. I would love it if our life was constantly filled with Rhema, but that's not the way God designed it. God designed it that we will take our faith in His written word. The word says that I'm going to do it. Praise God. I'm going to stand right there. I'm not moving. That's what God believed His own Logos. And we stand right there. And when in dire need, and when times arise, God drops Rhema. You realize a minister can teach you Logos, but I have never given any of you a Rhema. I speak it as Logos, and sometimes it's Rhema to me when I'm speaking it. But by the time it leaves my mouth and comes to your heart, it depends upon your attitude, your frame of mind, what kind of condition you're in, whether you'll receive it as a rhema from God or a logos from God. You see, when the angel came to Mary, let me close. The angel took the logos of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. And the angel said, you found favor in the eyes of God. And Mary said unto the angel, be it unto me according to thy rhema. So the angel takes the Logos. It becomes anointed under this ministering spirit. And she receives it as rhema. Don't you understand? That's what preaching of the gospel does. Ministers take the Logos of God. They get under the anointing of a ministering spirit. And if you are on that same channel of the anointing, you're hearing straight from God. Not just from Logos now, but a rhema that fits your personal life of where you are. When the angels sung to the shepherds and spoke to them of the birth of the Christ child, those shepherds in Luke chapter 2, they said, let us go and tell this thing. Thing. Rhema. Which has come to pass. The angels of God took Logos and told ignorant shepherds, and them shepherds received it as a direct word from God. And they weren't sharing Ramas. Praise God. Why, it had to be shepherds. Don't you love him? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are Ramas and Zoe. With Rhema is connected Zoe. Not necessarily with Logos. If Zoe was connected with Logos and life, all quickening power, Satan could take this and say, got this, let this, let that, let that. When he come against Jesus, he used Logos. But Jesus used more than Logos. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus wasn't using his memory. Jesus was standing there anointed for the hour. Let's stand together. Oh, children, whatever you're facing today, whatever you're dealing with in life, should we study the word, Brother Donnie? Absolutely. Study it every day of your life. Read it. Should I memorize it? Certainly. But remember, your memory, all the studying you do, you need the Holy Ghost to quicken that word. Is your brother listening to me today? I'm sure. And I talked to him one day this week, and he's been real sick, going through some different things in his body. He's not here today. He doesn't live here in this state. Lives in another state and streams of services. But he'd been really dealing with some things in his body. He told me, he said, one day this week, Brother Donnie, I'd been up and down several times in the night. And he said, something spoke to me and said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And he said, I thought, I know that's a scripture. I know there's a scripture of that in the Bible. He said, I got up and I got to looking at it and I found it, and he quoted to me the chapter and the verse in Psalms where it was. And I said, my brother, do you understand what that was?
Yes, sir.
That was a rhema from God. Did you hear me preach on that years ago? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, I think we started listening maybe somewhere during that time frame. So I took a little bit of this and I said, I'm going to be preaching on it this weekend. I said, I believe that was a rhema from God for your need. Now, he might take that same scripture 6 months from now and say, you know what, that worked for me when I was going through this, that, and another. And boy, he'll take that same scripture and try to do it. And it don't happen. Why? You're reading Logos. You're trying to apply Logos, which we should. But when God drops it there. Sort of like your last revelation as a mortal. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4. This we say unto you by the Logos of the Lord. And then he goes to describing the resurrection, the rapture. The last verse he says, wherefore comfort one another with these Logoses. But you can't comfort me with a rhema. Only God can do that. Have you ever got something and it turns your world upside down and you're trying to tell your wife and she's looking at you thinking, wow, that is something. You can tell it didn't do it. You're sharing a rhema with her. It was your word from God. And it so blessed you and so heaven. You said, oh Lord, wasn't that service wonderful tonight? Well, yeah, I thought Brother Darn did okay. I mean, I thought it was all, what? Hey, woman, what in the world's the matter with you? You need the Holy Ghost, woman. I'm telling you what, but maybe you got one rhema after another, and she fed, she was feeding Logos after Logos after Logos. Only God can do that. You can't do it. The preacher can't do it. Only God can do it. How many wants more of them? I do. I realized, Brother Gene, after looking at this again, I've realized that's what God gives me. When he wakes me up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, Brother Gene, I've realized that's what God gives me. A rhema from God. And it makes it so real. So quickens it.
Oh, my. Let's bow our heads together. The seed in the gallery. It's way too far back for the human mind to comprehend. Actually, when we left that order, our conscience and our memory was darkened to it anyway. But one day when we are birthed back into it, we will recall. These revelations that God has given you in your life are leading up ultimately to the last revelation you'll ever receive as a mortal. And that is the Rhema. The Rhema. The changing. The quickening of the rapture. Oh, praise God. We've read rapture quotes. We've read rapturing faith quotes and all that. Has it produced it? It has not. And it won't. We're sowing dynamics. And the mechanics will strike it. But there's no certain quote in the message that well, everybody in the message will grab a hold of and that'll change their body. It'll be a rhema word from God. Your last revelation as a mortal. Praise God. How many want to be a part of that? Oh my. Just raise your hand to the Lord. Amen. If there's anything in your life today, friends, as I said in my opening comments, Russia's getting ready. Their bombs are ready. Their planes are ready. Politics are getting ready. Cars are getting ready. All the visions are getting ready to be fulfilled. Are you ready? Is there anything in your heart, your life, any grievance, any hard feeling toward anyone? You have something against somebody, a fault, an ought. Make it right. Jesus said, if you come to the altar and offer your gift and know that, remember that your brother has an ought against you, leave your gift there and go make it right with your brother. Make sure you're ready, for we don't know the hour. If Russia is preparing their people and getting them ready psychologically for war with America, before one bomb ever drops, the rapture will be gone. Think how close we could be, friends. The ruler or the chief of the third ranking party in Russia says if Hillary becomes president, it is inevitable there will be a nuclear war with America. Well, whether what he says comes to pass or not, we got a more sure word of prophecy. We got the seventh vision and this nation was annihilated. But thank God before it ever happens, we'll be gone. We'll be in glory. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us. We open our hearts. We bring the good ground. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would anoint it. Anoint the word and anoint our hearts and our lives. Break up the ground, as it were. Father, that we can be able to receive. It'll come to us. Most of the time in the form of Logos, the way it does to others. But then, Lord, we want to nurture it. We want to dig about it. We want to water it with praise. We want to do everything that we can on our part because we know we can have the attitude, well, I ain't going to do nothing. God will do it all. Our garden will be full of weeds. Our mind will be full of all kinds of things other than the Word. And the Logos will be choked out of our lives. So, Father, we want to be a good gardener. We want to take the weeds out and the briars and the brambles. We want to think on whatsoever things are lovely and pure and of an honest and good report. We want to do everything we can to make sure this Logos can be able to produce itself. And then, Lord, whenever we get to those spots that we don't know what to do, we wait on Ramus from you, Lord. Will you just drop it down from time to time? No doubt in the symbolism of what Ruth was receiving, handfuls on purpose. Something like what she was getting before, but it was quickened from the hand of the one doing the reaping. Lord Jesus, we love you today. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If there's one here today, Father, who's not been quickened, may this be the day the Holy Ghost will go through among us. Not only those that are visible, but those that are invisible. I don't think the congregation realizes that those who are streaming these services from around the world way outnumber the visible congregation that's here. So we don't want to forget them. Many of them sitting in Canada and Asia and Japan and Australia and New Zealand and wherever more they are around the world. Many of them don't have a church to go to. And this is the only church they have. God help them. Father, minister to them, Lord. Dear God, I pray you'd minister to your bride around the world, wherever they go, whatever church they attend, whatever ministry they sit under, that we can be ready, Lord. We believe she will be. Praise you, Heavenly Father. We love you with all of our hearts. Praise be to God. You love him, children, with all your heart. You want this Logos to be more quickened inside of you. You want to have good ground there and have it fertile and fertilized and weed-free and anxiety-free and stress-free and trouble-free, so the Holy Ghost can be able to grow good, productive crops in your life. Praise God. Harry, let's sing something together. Can we just worship just a little bit before we go? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Saturate my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Let the river flow.
Yes, Lord.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul.
Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Awake, north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. My beloved's foe said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. For behold, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth again, the time of singing is come. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Please saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Your name, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. You are God alone. From before time began, a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plan, that's just the way it is. You are God alone. From the full time began, times and bad, you are on your throne. You're the only God whose power can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God in me worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. Oh, right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. You are unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth. We love to bow before Him and tell the world what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. the only true and living God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His bride longs to bow before Him and tell the world and the devil what a mighty God.
Every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah. If you got any chains around your life this morning before you walk out them doors, won't you just let the Holy Ghost set you free? Healing, deliverance, suppression, whatever it is, let Him break every chain. Let's just worship Him together before we go, can we? There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. If you could only believe it today and see it. When that little white light went out of him in the beginning. You spun off of that with him. No wonder when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. A lick of fire come. Their own identity in the heavenlies. You could only see it today, my friends. That little white light, that little something, that little halo, that third part of man, as the prophet called it. That little halo, that soul. It spun off of God in eternity. United with the Logos, then you become a written epistle, read and known of all men. But you're not just a dead letter. You're a live letter. You're a live letter. Praise be to God. Don't you love Him? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands one more time and just give Him a love offering? Just give Him a praise offering from us. From us. This is from you now. It ain't from nobody else. Just you. Give your offering to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He created all things by His Word, His Logos. He created that desire in you. He created that zeal in you to serve Him. He created that longing in you to live for Him. When you had no desire to yourself, it is a creation of God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. We worship you, Father. As we prepare to go, Lord, I pray you'd go with us. Keep us by your grace. Bring us back at the appointed time. May we fill our lives, our minds, with the Logos of God. Your prophet said the Holy Spirit feeds on the Word. That's its diet. It feeds on the Word. So that's our part that we can do. But then, Lord, it takes you to take those scriptures and quicken them to us, or quotes when we need them, and turn them into rhema. And they become living Word to back up the devil out of our lives. Because we truly desire to be a victorious, overcoming people. Amen. Go with us now, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Don't you want to be a victorious people? I don't want to just be a letter, friends. I don't want to just be a word, a quote. I want to be a living example of the rhema of God. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them, God bless you, brother, sister. God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of God. Sing something for us here as we go. God bless you, saints. I love you so much in the Lord. It's an honor for us to be gathered together today in the presence of God. Hallelujah.
Give myself away.
Yes, Lord.
Give myself away.
I do, Jesus.
So you
can use me.
Give myself away.
Hallelujah.
Give myself away so you can.
Let that be your testimony as we leave today.
Myself away.
God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Oh,
I give myself
away
so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desire revealed in me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, place them in your hands. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.